Well, the Word's good. Amen. The Word is good. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the book of Job. Of course, that's one book before Psalms. We've been in this verse on Wednesday nights. The book of Job, chapter 22. Hallelujah. You know, when I say the Word is good, I'm not just saying that, well, that's just what a preacher says, you know. You know that the Word will only work for as much as your faith is for it? The Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. They'll be satisfied. That means you can sit here and everybody here is going to hear the same thing tonight. And thank you, sir. It depends on your level of faith as to how much you're going to receive. Because Jesus said the ones that are hungry and the ones that thirst after the things of God, they're the ones that will be filled. Not everybody will be filled. Not everybody will be satisfied. Not everybody will get what they need from God. But praise the Lord, when I say the Word is good, you see, you have an opportunity to act on believing that. You know, David said this about the Bible. He said, I rejoiced. Talk about someone that didn't have a love for money. He said, I rejoiced as one who struck it rich. I found great treasure at your word, he said. Now, most people, checking this, and most people, you know, don't put an emphasis on this, and maybe this might be their only feeding. And not here, though. I'm believing that we're in this thing and we're building ourselves up. But David said, I rejoiced. I rejoiced as one who struck it rich. Why? He knew everything in his life depended upon this book. This is your roadmap. This is your answer. This is your direction. This is everything. And David knew that. He said, I rejoice. Why? Because he knew everything was going to come from this book. Hallelujah. So let's pray before we get into the Word tonight. Make sure what God says, what God wants says, gets said, and make sure what He wants done gets done here tonight. Father, we are honored. And Lord, we take that same attitude like David had. And we rejoice at your Word as one who struck it rich. Father, we are excited tonight to hear your word. Father, we just right now just jump into faith and we say, bring it on, Holy Spirit. Father, whatever we need, we thank you that we'll get it tonight, Father. We thank you questions will be answered. We thank you direction will be given. We thank you encouragement will be brought forth. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. Father, I can't do this on my own. I'm just a branch in the vine. You're the life giver. You're the main source. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So Lord, speak through me tonight. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I thank you that something will be said to everybody here tonight that will help them in their own life. Father, only you can do that. I don't know every detail of every person's life and what they're going through, but you do. So I just yield my tongue to you tonight, Holy Ghost. Speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Job chapter 22. In verse 21, if you don't have your Bibles, of course we do have one on the screen for you. It says this, it says, acquaint now thyself with him. Or get to know God, right? That's what we've been looking at, getting to know God. Acquaint now yourself with him and be at peace. You know, the result of getting to know him is peace. Amen? You know, the book of Isaiah says, if you keep your mind on him, you'll be in peace. That's what it says. It says, hold your mind there. Keep your mind on him. Set your mind on him, and peace will be the result. What do we got the temperature right here? Praise the Lord. Are we all good out there? If you get freezing cold, just let me know. Praise the Lord. And it's good in the summertime to bring a sweater in here because you just never know. But it says, acquaint now yourself with him, get to know him, and peace will be the result. It says, thereby, after, or the result of getting to know God or acquainting yourself with him, good shall come unto thee. You know, if you acquaint yourself with a comedian, the result's going to be laughter. Right? If you acquaint yourself with somebody that hurls insults, the result might be sadness. But if you acquaint yourself with God, the Bible says peace and great good is what the Amplified says. Great good will come unto you. And you know, we've used this test to how well we know God, right? If hell shows up at your front door, what's your response? Are you in faith? Do you still have the shout about you? Are you still holding your head high? Are you still walking with a walk of victory? Or are you walking with a look of sadness or sulking or complaining or wringing your hands, losing sleep, stressing out? Well, if those are your responses, I would have to ask you, how well do you know God? Because if you know God, you know that He's for you in every situation. You know that there's not one thing that could show up at your door that all of a sudden gets your Heavenly Father in a tizzy, and now he's pacing the floor in heaven. Oh boy, how am I going to help him with this one? How am I going to? That doesn't happen with God. He knows the beginning from the end. But see, he's giving you the goods. He says you can do all things through him. He says that I'll provide all your needs. He says I'll heal all your diseases. That means a disease can show up, and God knows healing's the answer. Poverty can show up, but God knows provision is the answer. Defeat can show up, but God knows victory is the answer. But see, do you know that? If you know God, you'll know that. And it's important to know God, because how we respond in the tests and trials is everything. You know, it's not the test that's the problem. When I went to school and I did bad on tests, man, I could walk out of there and get as angry as I want about that test. That test was unfair. Yet the person to my right might have got 100. The person to my left might have got a 95. The test wasn't the problem. The test taker was the problem, right? The test is never the issue. God gives you the answers. It's open book. It's an open book test. Every problem is in here. Praise God. I'm glad for that. It's an open book test. Every answer's in here. And so if you'll know God, see, when you know God, it'll cause you to be in faith, and your response will determine your outcome of your test. Just like when I took those tests, what I did up until that point and what I did during the test, I mean, I could just put my head, I did this a lot of times in 10th grade when I was going through the most depressing time of my life. I remember being in Mr. Lindquist's math class, and I'd go in there, and he was a teacher, he was on his way out the door, and he was a very funny guy, and I'd sit in the front row because he put us in alphabetical order, and Anderson, I was always in front, and he'd give me a test. I'd push it right to the front of the desk. I'd put my head down. I'd go to sleep, and they'd make jokes about it. I didn't care. I didn't care about nothing back then. But see, what happened was the result wasn't a very good grade. That was my fault. You can show up at a test and purposely put the wrong answers or purposely do. See, how you take the test determines the grade you get on the test. And see, if hell shows up, and what I mean by hell is the test shows up, and you get into doubt, and you get into fear, and you get into complaining, and you get into everything opposite of faith, your grade won't be as good as somebody that stands tall during that thing and says, my God. See, that all depends on how well you know God. And so we've been looking at knowing him. In the first week, we saw that you can know God through somebody else. You know, you put yourself under a spiritual gift. You know, the Bible says, you know, aren't you glad the Bible says I'm a gift to your life and I have a gift to my life, the pastor. Of course, you don't exalt the man, you exalt the office. The Bible says the office of the pastor is a gift sent to the body of Christ. Why? To equip the saints, to perfect the saints. Which tells me that without the apostle, without the prophet, without the evangelist, without the pastor who will have the most interaction with the sheep, and without the teacher, you can't get perfected. You can't be equipped. You can't grow in God to the measure that he would want unless there's somebody else in your life. Well, that's the pastor's job. That's what all those other ministry gifts are, is to help you know God better, help you know God on a more intimate and deep level. We saw that. And then last week, we saw that you know God through his word, right? His word is a revelation of who he is. It describes his character. It describes his will. It describes his thoughts. It describes his actions. God is not a mystery. Don't let religion and don't let the devil tell you that God is some... No, Jesus bridged the gap between... Jesus was the bridge. He laid right down and we walk over Jesus when we get to God. He's not a mystery. His word has been open to us. I know that God is love. I know that God is a provider. I know that God's a healer. And the only reason I know that is because that's what his word says. And so we looked at last week about making sure that we're spending time in his word. And if you're only getting one cold snack a week, you're 45 minutes on a Wednesday, maybe you get a second snack on a Sunday. If you're only getting those, if you're only eating two snacks naturally throughout the week, you're going to be a grumpy person, you're going to be a weak person, you're going to be a person that is malnourished. If you're only eating two snacks, you know, I consider a snack like maybe like a granola bar and an apple. Let's just say that's a snack, man. If you're eating that twice a week and that's all you're getting, that's not going to last very long. And unfortunately, a lot of people in the body of Christ, if you could even get them to get their two snacks a week, that's all they're getting. And they're wondering why they're not dominating, and they're wondering why they're not overcoming, and they're wondering why they're not full of victory. Well, your spiritual man is weak and wimpy. Now, our natural man, we don't miss meals in America. Let's face it, I'm talking about myself. We make sure we get our meals in America, and we make sure we get our snacks in between, and we make sure we go to bed on a full tummy, right? Don't we do that in America? But when it comes to the spiritual things, they get put on the back burner. And the Bible says the word of God is spirit food to your spirit man. The spirit man's the real you, the one that's going to overcome. You're not going to overcome by your flesh. In fact, your spirit will help you overcome the fleshly realm. And so spending time in His Word, you get to know God, and the result will be peace. And then tonight we're going to look at the last part of this series is knowing God through prayer. And this is one of the most intimate ways that you get to know God, because you can pray in public and you can pray out loud together, and that's good. The Bible says to do that. But the Bible also talks about a prayer closet, where the only person in that prayer closet is you and God, and you're communicating with God, and you're actually getting quiet. You know, a lot of people just do all this. They never sit before God in silence and just let Him say something and speak into their heart. They're always doing the talking. They're always doing this. And that's not, man, if you're one of these people and you're always dominating a conversation, that's annoying, right? It'd actually probably be better for you to say less. You know, the Bible says that you can be considered wise. The Bible says even a fool, if he doesn't say anything, is perceived to be wise. Even someone that's a foolish person and is not very smart, if they don't open their mouth, people think, man, they must be smart. The less you say is probably better in certain situations. But when it comes to prayer, everybody's doing this and nobody's getting quiet. And so in that prayer closet, you take time to talk to God. You take time to hear from heaven. And tonight I want to help you. Well, before I get there, I want to first of all say this. What is prayer? Because prayer can be magnified to this holier-than-thou act, and this act that people stay away from. Prayer is simply this, communicating with God, talking with God, having an ongoing conversation with your Heavenly Father. You know, my wife and I've told you that there's nobody I know better on this earth than her. You know, I know my mom, but I don't know her as well as I know my wife, in the sense of there's lots of things about my wife that I don't know about my mom, and my friends and my best friends are people in the church. But my wife, man, I would dare to say even her thoughts, and she's the same way with me. She knows what I'm thinking. She knows when something's wrong. She knows when something's bothering me. Don't even have to say anything. Just maybe the way your eyebrows would go, or maybe the way your mouth would look, or just the way you tone of voice. I mean, you know the people that you're closest to, that why do you know them so well? Because you spent time with them. And our relationship is that way because we communicate. I don't just come home and not talk to her and ignore her. We communicate. We have an ongoing communication, and so I'm constantly knowing more about her, because different days are different. I want to know more about her on this day, how she feels about this new thing that came in her life. It's all about communication. And people, I'll say it this way, tradition, religion, and the devil are bad things. Tradition, at times, can be a good thing, and I'm not against tradition, but I know people who have told me with their mouth they're called to a different church where they're going to get fed, but they can't leave the people they've been with for years. And they're starving, and they're not being successful, and they're not thriving. Why? Tradition. Tradition. I don't want to leave my traditions. Or I remember someone coming into the Jamestown church and teaching on lifting hands and teaching on praising. And that caused them to leave the church. Why? Because in their traditional church, you didn't say a word in church, and you were quiet. And they said to us, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm not going to ever do that. Well, that's dangerous. That's traditions. Listen, traditions are good when they're biblical. What's a good tradition? Taking up communion is a good tradition to have. The Bible says to do that. Water baptism is a good tradition to have. Coming to church is a good tradition. Worshiping God's a good tradition. As long as it lines up with the Word, I'm all for tradition. But tradition, religion, and the devil keep people separated from God. And there's people that they go days and weeks, they don't even talk to God. And God is longing to have communication with you. How do you expect to get to know somebody if you don't have a conversation with them? I think about dating my wife. If we'd have just sat there and looked at each other, that'd have been awkward. She's good to look at, you know, don't get me wrong. My eyes enjoyed it, but I wanted to know more about her, right? I wanted to find out more about her. Well, the way we did that is, what do you feel about this? What are your favorite foods? What do you like to do? Tell me about your life. That was a conversation, communication. That's all it is with God. And I want to make prayer easy tonight for you. I want you to walk out of here saying, man, Pastor Mike made it so easy. I'm motivated to pray now. I actually want to pray because he broke down those walls of tradition, those walls of religion, and those things that the devil's been telling us. So are you ready to be blessed tonight? Yeah. Amen. Well, number one, we're going to look at just a few points here. Number one, we have to make sure when it comes to praying Because we get in our mind, well, you know, I gotta have this amount of prayer logged in, this amount of time logged in prayer. It's important that we don't get into religion with prayer. And the number one point is this, is that we don't magnify the act of praying, but that we magnify the God who hears our prayers. Amen. Amen? It's important to do that because then it almost becomes like a chore or something that you're trying to log in to make yourself and your own mind and your own works feel good of, got an hour in today. Well, big whoop-de-doo. You should have been talking to God all day long. You know what I mean? It's He's not longing for that time where you say, okay, Lord, the next 30 minutes is yours. No, He wants all of you all the time. You say, well, I sleep. God wants your thoughts on Him. And you got to say, well, I wake up in the morning, I feel like praying. He just wants you, He wants you to acknowledge Him. I mean, He's not looking for you to stop your life and to become a monk that goes into the top of the hills and becomes no earthly good because all they're doing is praying 24 hours a day. Now, it's very rare for people to have that kind of a call in their life. And the ones that don't have a call in their life that try to do that, they are no earthly good, man. I'll tell you, they are worthless on planet Earth. And a lot of them, I've known two people like that, that all they want to do is pray. It didn't work well when they got married. And it caused trouble in their marriage. And they got corrected by God that, yes, it's good to pray a lot, and yes, it's good, but there's things on earth you got to take care of. But anyways, I want to make prayer easy tonight. So we're not magnifying the act of praying. We're magnifying the God who answers when we pray. And that's important because then prayer becomes about prayer changes me. It doesn't change how God feels about me. God does not change how He feels about you with how many hours you've prayed. Or how He doesn't think less of you when you've stayed out of His presence for extended amounts of times. But the problem is you're being hurt for it. And I'm going to look at that in a little bit. But when we have that mindset of, I'm magnifying the act that you hear me, Father, when I pray. It's not, oh, yes, I prayed, and so hip hop hooray for me. It's, you answer when I pray, and so therefore I'm motivated to pray. John chapter 11 is a good place to look at this. John chapter 11, in verse 41. I mean, wouldn't you be more motivated to talk to Him if you knew the God of the universe heard you and was interested in what you said? I mean, man, if we really just got that mindset. I was on my way to church today, and it seems like a lot of times on the way to church, the Lord just softens me up, and I'm just crying like a baby because I'm just like, Lord, I want to be in Your presence more. There's things in my life I don't know, and there's things, decisions that need to be made and down the road, and I just want to know You more. Glory to God. I can't know You more unless I've spent in Your presence. I want to be in His presence more. And not from a standpoint of, well, if I don't, you know, I'm a bad pastor, I'm a bad Christian, and God's mad at me. No, I need Him. And so do you. John chapter 11 and verse 41, this is the account when Lazarus had died, and Jesus got there. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You've heard me. And I knew that You hearest me. Or He said, I know that. The King James is a little bit confusing there. He says, I know that You hear me always. But because of the people which stand by said it, that they may believe that You have sent me. So Jesus is having a conversation with God. But one thing that's so interesting He says is, Father, I know You've heard me. And I know that You always hear me. Isn't that awesome? Just magnifying. What's He doing? Jesus didn't lift up His voice and say this. Here a man is dead, who they're looking at Jesus to raise him. Their loved ones are around. They're sad. They're distraught. They're miserable. And they're looking to Jesus for a miracle. Notice Jesus didn't say, Father, I'm so glad I'm the Messiah. I'm so glad that I'm full of power and that I'm able to do this. Who did He magnify? The God that heard Him pray. He said, Lord, I'm thankful that You hear me and that You hear me always. Why? Because when He says, Lazarus, come forth, He knows heaven's hearing that, and He knows heaven's going to back up what He says. So He's magnifying the God who hears Him pray. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. I just thought it was important that before we made things a little bit easy for you tonight, that we make sure that we're coming from the right angle. And I don't mean a right angle like a triangle, but, you know, the correct angle, from the right place. Because so many people, they come from religion will just absolutely crush your prayer life. Religion will squash it because it'll never be enough for you. You'll always be beating yourself up. You'll always be down on yourself. No. You praying And the act, listen, there are Muslims and Hindus that can pray us under the table and it does no good for them. They pray hours. They have specific times of day where their life shuts down and they get on their knees and turn their carpet towards certain place and they pray and they faithfully do it, religiously do it, and it's worthless. It's worthless. So it's not the act of praying. It's the God that hears us when we pray. And why I bring that up? Because that changes your mindset going into prayer. It's not, well, because I prayed 2 hours today, things are going to change. No, it's because you prayed to the one that will change things. Listen, you can pray for 2 hours and not be in faith, or you could release your faith. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times, set aside times, where the Spirit of God will lead you into extended times of prayer. But you can release your faith in a one-minute prayer and have just as much effect as a two-hour prayer filled with no faith, or actually have more effect. So it's important that we come at it right, because when it gets to be religious and it gets to be a chore, we tend to want to stay away from those things. We tend to want to avoid those things. No, we're coming to a God who answers and hears us. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Notice that God hears you when you ask according to His will. That leads me to back to last week, why it's so important to know Him. Because when you know Him, you'll ask according to His will. Why? Because you'll know what His will is, because you'll know what His word is. I talk to Christians all the time. They have no idea what God's will is on healing. I say, what's God's will on healing? I don't know. I know He's able to do it. Well, that's not good enough. I know He can. That's not good enough. You need to know He can, He's able, and He will, and He wants to. How do you know that, Pastor? Because His word says so. What's the will of God? Or you know how you know that without asking that direct question? If someone's dealing with something, how many scriptures are you standing on? I don't have any, Pastor. Well, you need those scriptures because that's the foundation for which you can stand on to believe for your change. How can you believe for financial change if you don't know if it's God's will? How can you believe for physical change if you don't know, because you're believing Him for it? If He doesn't want you healed, how can you believe for it? If He doesn't want you prosperous, how can you believe for it? You can't have true faith without the knowledge. And it says that God hears you when you ask according to His will. When you spend more time with Him, you'll know what God's will is. And it says this is the confidence. You'll then go into prayer with a confidence that you've never had before. I was just praying today on the way here about a financial need. And it just hit me because it's been dogging me. And I just thought, Lord, You said You meet all my needs. And so I said, I'm just going to do the word here. I ask You for this amount of money to do this, and I thank You it's done. Now that thing's done. It's taken care of. And I'll report back to You when it's taken care of. But it just hit me that, wait a second, I know You. I know Your will is to meet my needs. I know Your will is to provide for me. And I know that You said that if I ask anything according to Your will, well, this is a need. It needs to be met. I'm asking You according to it. I know You hear me. Praise God that You hear me. You actually hear me in verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, how do we know He hears us? If we ask according to His will, that whatsoever we ask, we know we have. Glory to God. You can have a prayer life with a success rate of 100%. You can. It is possible that if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if we know He hears us, we know we have. So tonight with that need, I know I have it. I know I have it. You know, I just placed an order for some camouflage. The camouflage that I've had is, I mean, it's like 12, going on 13 years old. It's bad. It's faded. It's got holes. It's stitched up in all sorts of places. So I ordered some camouflage. Now, they told me an estimated time it's coming. I don't know when it's coming, but you know what? I'm looking forward to that package showing up. I know that package is going to show up. I'm excited about that package showing up. Why can't it be that way for the Word of God? We know we have. Why? Because we asked according to His will. I don't know the exact date. I don't know what the package is going to look like when it shows up, but it's going to show up. So therefore, I have expectation for it. Amen? So God hears you. It's not the praying. And we got to just immediately say, when it comes to prayer, stop being religious about prayer. Stop logging in and clocking in times and clocking out. No, God wants you all day, all the time. When the Spirit of God leads you, and there are times to put your flesh down and to spend time and to seek Him. You know, the Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not that just casually give him a pass by, 1 minute this day I spent with him, 10 minutes this. No, he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. Amen. But if we come from the standpoint of, man, I'm going, God's going to hear me, and I'm going to be blessed, it'll change things. But if we go from, oh, I got to pray, and if I don't. Have you ever been there? I've been there a lot of times, right? I mean, especially, I say this especially as a pastor, not to put myself in a more important role. That's not what I mean. But I'm supposed to lead people. I'm supposed to help people. I'm supposed to hear from heaven. And I have my own marks and goals in my head. When I don't reach them and hit them, boy, oh, there go, as if I'm the reason people are blessed, right? Some of the best services I've ever had were the times I prayed the least. And I think that's God just showing me, listen, buddy, I'm in charge, not you. I mean that. I've had that miracle service I had in youth group where the Lord gave me a vision of sticking my finger in that girl's ear and she just got healed, and it was so miraculous. That day I didn't spend any time, I was driving around doing errands, I was so busy, I didn't spend any time separated and consecrated that day. And I had one of the greatest manifestations ever. And in my mind, I'm going to that service thinking, oh, this is going to be a dud service. I didn't do much. It ain't about me. It ain't about me. And God sometimes just says, listen, pal, this ain't all about you. It's about me. It ain't about your praying that changes people's lives. It ain't about your studying and how much you studied and how many hours you logged in. It's all about me. Amen? But imagine if we did both. Imagine if we logged in the hours. Imagine if we logged in the time, but with an attitude of faith, an attitude of, my God hears me, so I want to be here. See how it would change things? Hallelujah. Well, number two, to help you in your prayer tonight, prayer life going forward from tonight, God longs for you to communicate with him. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. It says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You've heard me say it before, but this verse to me ought to be labeled, if I was making my own Bible, and I was going to put headings over top of each verses, I'd say heaven's invitation. This is heaven's royal invitation for you to come and to receive from him, to come into the prayer closet, to come into his presence. God is giving you an invite. And I'll use this example. We sent invitations to people at our wedding. Why? We wanted them there. And there were certain people that didn't get invitations. You want to know why? Didn't want to see them. Didn't want them at our special day. Right? Let's put two and two together. You get an invitation. You don't have to show up there. I kind of wonder, oh boy, I wonder if people, am I supposed to be here? You got the proof. You're wanted there. Your presence is requested, right? God is requesting you. You know, we didn't send invitations to people that, well, if we don't, we're going to feel bad if we run into them at Walmart. No, this was our day. If you're there, it's because we want to see your face. If you're not there, it's because we don't really care about seeing your face that day, right? And that's why I'm saying with this, God is requesting you there. He's telling you, I want you there. Amen? But see, this is what you need to understand about him longing for you. For that verse to become a possibility, something major had to happen. Because in the Old Testament, they couldn't go into the presence of God freely. There was one man could go into the presence of God, the high priest. He had to have a rope tied around his waist, because if he did anything dishonorable, did anything wrong, he'd be struck dead right there. When you get outside the will of God, boom, dead. And they'd have a rope attached to him because they couldn't go in, because the high priest was the only one anointed to come into the presence of God in the temple. It's called the Holy of Holies. If you look at the temple structure, I'm not a temple scholar, but I know how it works, that there's different levels and rooms. And inside the room, which was the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence was kept in a box, one person could go in there, and he had a rope tied around him, and if he did anything dishonorable, did anything wrong, drop dead, and they would be able to drag him out because nobody was going to go in there after, because they weren't anointed to stand in the presence of God. Thank God those days are over. We all now can go into the presence of God, but yet we stay away and we don't understand what a privilege it is. You don't understand what, because the presence of God is in you, the presence of God is all around now, what a privilege it is just to say, Father, I love you. They couldn't do that in the Old Testament. To get in the presence of God. See, in the Old Testament, God lived in a box. In the New Testament, God lives in you. That's awesome. Amen. That is awesome. Remember when David and his servants were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which the Ark of the Covenant was the box that housed the presence of God? And remember, someone reached up and touched it and they shouldn't have? Dead instantly. Why? They weren't anointed. Thank God it ain't like that anymore. Amen. He's in us. The Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. I'll tell you, it'll change your attitude. When it comes to sickness, man, I remember, this is what I'd say, listen, I got the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. This sickness ain't got nothing on me. Because it says it'll quicken your mortal bodies, that Spirit of God. You know, I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be worried. I got the presence of God. But for Him to invite you into His presence, go with me to Hebrews 10 and verse 19. It'll help you to see that God wants you in His presence and to communicate Him with so much. The only way He was able to make it possible was by to have His Son Jesus murdered. That was the only way that God could make it so He could have you in unbroken fellowship. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies, to enter into the holiest, or you could say it this way, the holy of holies, enter in. How do you enter in? Prayer's entering in. How do we then? By the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, you had to have a priest go in to the presence of God. You don't need that anymore. And the only reason you don't is because of the blood. So when the Bible says come boldly, when God requests you and invites you there, He paid a huge price to make that invitation a possibility. So God is saying, I'm longing for you, child. I'm longing for you to be in my presence. I have things for you. See, get out of the religious mindset. Put your flesh under and go into His presence. Can you go back to Hebrews 4 and verse 16, please, Michelle? He's saying, I long for you because if you'll come here, I have some things for you. I have good things for you. And it says, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That means if we stay away from the throne of grace, we stay out of that place of prayer, out of that one-on-one time with God, we will not get the mercy, we will not get the grace that we need in the time, or that help in that time of need. Do you see it there? God is saying, I'm not looking to ruin your life. I'm not looking for you to have to ruin your day because you're going to watch less TV and spend more time with me. See, and I say that because let's face it, TV's a god to this country. It is. It's been a god to me in my life, but let's face it, if we're going to really get in there and hit home, TV is a god to people. We sit there in front of it for hours, and it's like we worship it, right? It's true. And am I saying TV's wrong? No, I wouldn't be able to see my beloved Buffalo Bills get beat every Sunday if there's no TV. And so I'm not saying TV's wrong, but let's face it. We could throw in anything, fill in the blank. Let's not just pick on TV. Our recreations, our hobbies, we put all these things, and God is saying, I need you to come into my presence. I have some things for you. I have some things for you. And man, I'll tell you, let me just help you with this statement. If you're trying to overcome anything in life, whether it's to get victory over anything, it could be addictions, it could be wrong thoughts, anything, you name it. There comes a point where you are going to have to crucify your flesh. If you want to know God on a deeper level, you are going to have to crucify your flesh, the Bible says. What does that mean? Some times of being very uncomfortable. Listen, it's more comfortable to the flesh to plop down in front of that TV with a big bowl of chips and some dip and a pop and watch that for 3-4 hours and veg out. It's more comfortable to the flesh to do that, right? But I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to know God that way. You're not going to know God on a more intimate level. You're not going to receive what He has from you. And again, I'm not just picking on TV. But see, we want all the goodies without doing sometimes what it takes to get there. Listen, 90-some percent of all that I do, I don't feel like doing it. 90% of the things I do right. Hardly ever do I feel like reading this. Feel-wise, my flesh. Now, my spirit is always hungry to read it. Hardly ever do I feel like getting on my knees or spending time with God, because my flesh is always craving to be loud and to do this recreation, watch this television show, do this that pleases and gratifies the flesh. The Bible says your spirit and your flesh are in a war, and a lot of times the flesh is beating the Christian silly and is winning the battle. Now, don't get me wrong, when he says, how can he be a pastor? He said the majority of the time he doesn't feel like praying. He said the majority of the time, he doesn't feel like reading his Bible. It doesn't mean I go by my feelings. There's a difference there. It doesn't mean I can tell you, holy cow, if you knew some of the thoughts that ripped through my mind. He said, how can he be a pastor if my thoughts came up on there? And let's not forget, if your thoughts came up on there too, we'd probably be pretty shocked, right? Thoughts that come up on there, say, how can he be a pastor? Doesn't mean I act on them. You know, a bird can fly over your head. You can't stop it, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. I can't stop a thought that all of a sudden I'll get a thought about my wife, or I'll get a thought about anything in life. I'm like, where in the heck did that come from? I have a choice. Let it build a nest and think on it, or say, bye, birdie. Yeah. See you later. Not pooping on me. Glory to God. And so, crucifying of the flesh. Yes, through the Spirit, things will be easy. Yes, doing things God's way will make it easier, but there's going to come a point where you have to tell your flesh no. I heard one minister say it this way, praying through the veil or the curtain or the wall of the flesh. That, you know, Brother Hagin, and now this is Brother Hagin. Now, he had a call in his life, and he was anointed to do certain things. He was praying in tongues one time, and he got done praying an hour, and the devil said, that was worthless. He said, devil, just because you said that, I'm going to pray for 2 hours. So he prayed for 2 hours. The devil came to him and said, well, that was worthless. He said, devil, just because. See, he was giving the devil exactly what he didn't want. He said, just because you said that, devil, I'm going to pray 4 hours now. The devil came to him and said, well, that was worthless. You got nothing. He said, devil, just because you said that, I'm going to pray for 6 hours now. And he prayed for 6 hours, and he broke through into a gusher of just revelation, just God speaking to him. Does that mean we have to pray for 6 hours? Well, if we do, let's do it. I don't know, but I know this. Whatever it takes to get from him, because our flesh, we have sown into our flesh for so long, right? And you might not be called to have to pray for six hours. Don't people get caught up in now, if I don't pray for 6 hours, I'm not going to get anything from God. No, that was his situation. That was his circumstance. Amen? So let's go on here. The price was great. The price was great. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. I want to give you a glimpse into your Father. Matthew chapter 6. About him longing for you to be there. About him longing for you to communicate with him. About him longing so much he proved it by, I sent Jesus to die. See, we think prayer is just, well, it's just prayer. No, it's a privilege because it was such a high price for us to be able to communicate with God on the level that we have. To be able to have the Spirit of God on the inside of us and to talk and to have God actually talk back to us, that was a price that was the greatest price anything was ever paid for. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7 says this, when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. These next two verses give us such a glimpse into the character of God when it comes to prayer. Number one, God says this. He says, when you come to talk to me, don't use vain repetitions. Now, let me bring up the Catholic Church. And let me first say this. Do I love the Catholic Church? I absolutely love Catholics. Most of my family on Courtney's side are Catholics. Wonderful people. Catholics are, you know, a lot of them are so moral, and they have a love for God. And so when I say this, I'm not coming down on the Catholics. But what I do find in what they do is a lot of their prayers are the same words over and over again. It's just the same thing over and over again. Again, that's not beating them up and coming down on them. Listen, thank God for Catholics and their morality and things. Listen, in no means would I ever come down in that way. That's not what I mean, but I know this. The Bible says don't use vain repetitions. And a lot of times it's the same thing over and over again, and I think, man, that wouldn't fly too well with my relationship with my wife. That wouldn't fly too well. If my kid came up to me and every day said the same exact thing, I would think, man, where's the emotion? Where's the realness of this relationship, right? Prayer becomes habit. Prayer becomes tradition. And God says, I don't want your vain repetitions. I don't want you to have a set thing in your mind that you're coming to say to me. Why? There's no relationship that's going to be formed on the basis of that. Every day I wake up and say the same thing to my wife. Say the same thing when I come home to her. Say the same exact thing when I go to bed. That ain't going to work. That relationship is not going to get good. And the Lord says, don't use that. Why? He wants you to be real with him. You don't talk that way to your spouse. You don't talk that way to your kids. You don't talk that way to your parents. You don't talk that way to your coworkers. You have a conversation. You talk to them about life. You talk to them about what's going on. You communicate different things. You'd be like a robot if you didn't. God says, stop being robotic with me. Right? He wants the real you in prayer. In verse 8, it says, be not therefore like unto them. Now notice this. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Because some people would say, why do I need to pray? God already knows I need $500, $1,000. God already knows I need this part of my body healed. God already knows I need this victory. The purpose is He wants your communication. He wants that relationship with you. Yes, God knows everything you need, but He still wants you to come to Him and tell Him, Daddy, I need this. Lord, I'm going through this. Because here's what I've found out is that knowledge doesn't equal permission. Just because God has knowledge of something doesn't give Him permission to act on it. I heard this example. It's a great example. If someone parks in my driveway, their car in my driveway, and I know that their car's in my driveway, it doesn't give me permission to go drive it. If I'm sitting next to somebody at church and they pull out their wallet and they set it down on their seat and I see there's five $100 bills in there, it doesn't give me the right to take that because I know they have it. That doesn't equal permission. And just because God knows what is going on in your life, it doesn't give Him permission to act until you ask Him. You have not, James says, because you ask not. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We stay away and we don't ask because... No, Jesus said, yeah, let's see if I can remember where that verse is before I start spouting off at the mouth here. Yes, John 16 and verse 24. Get out on a limb and then I can't find where I'm going and then it makes for a bad service and you all want to laugh at me. And just kidding. It's John 16, 24. Look at this. He says, hitherto, or up until now, He says, you've asked nothing in My name. Are you ready for this? Ask, and you shall receive. Now notice this, ask and you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. God wants you to receive from Him because He wants to see you happy. But He says you have to ask Him. See, people don't have the faith to ask Him. Finally, a light bulb went off in me on the way to church today. I think, just ask Him for this. Don't sit around wondering how to get myself into this and how's it. Just ask Him. Why? My joy's not full with that need being unmet. My joy's full when that need's met. So He says, ask Me in the things that your joy's not full, and then I'll meet that need. Then your joy will be full in that area. You see that there? But He says, He knows what you have need of before you ask Him. He wants you to ask Him. Why? He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to rely on Him. He wants you to be the one that you turn to. Amen? But we stay away. No, God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to help you. Hallelujah. So number one, we saw we don't magnify the act of praying. Number two, God longs for us to communicate Him. And number three, prayer gets us through. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1. And He spoke a parable unto them to this end. Now notice this. That men ought to sometimes. That men ought to occasionally. That men ought to, you know, here and there, that men ought to always, what? Pray. And the result of that would be not to faint. Or you could say it this way, to be strong, to be successful, to thrive in this life, to walk in victory. Men ought to always pray and not faint. You say, well, Pastor, you already told me He doesn't want me to be a Mongolian monk up on a mountain praying all day. Well, that's not what it means. But why can't you pray when you're ironing your clothes? Why can't you pray when you're hunting? Why can't you pray when you're driving? Why can't you pray when you're getting ready? Why can't you pray when you're making dinner? Why can't you include God? Why can't you worship Him? Why can't you tell Him about your day? That's why he lies to stay-at-home moms all the time that, oh, you know, because when you're a stay-at-home mom, listen, I was for 2 years, you are locked in to that child all the time. And he'll say, and the devil will say, oh, you're worthless because you don't. Why can't I pray and speak to God when I'm changing a dirty diaper? Why can't I when I'm chasing Caleb around the yard and playing with Abby or rocking Abby to sleep? Why can't I communicate with God? That's the lie of the devil. Oh, all the candles need to be lit. I need to be on my knees so long that I get bloody knees and all religious garbage. God wants you all the time. He knows you got to work. He knows you like to have recreation. He knows you got to drive places. He knows you got to shower. He knows you got to do things. He's not looking for you to be like this all day long until your eyeballs fall out. He's looking for your life. And Jesus said, always. See, what happens is, if you always make it a point to communicate with God, that means even in the good times, you'll know He's there. But more importantly, when the bad times strike, you'll know I have a God. I know my God. And I don't have to panic when this financial need comes. And I don't have to panic when this physical need comes. And I don't have to panic when they're talking like certain ways on the news. And I don't have to panic when my boss says one thing and the economy looks one way. I don't have to panic because I have an ongoing relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the need meter, the body healer, the victory provider. Yeah, it's true. But see, we don't develop. We don't cultivate this relationship. I heard it this way. Smith Wigglesworth, it's a funny name, but he was a mighty man of God in the early 1900s. I mean, miracles out of England. Miracles from this man. He said this. He said, I never pray more than 10 minutes at a time, but I never go 10 minutes without praying. That's what he said. Because he wasn't magnifying, oh, I've prayed for 5 hours. And that's not what Brother Hagin was doing. Brother Hagin was saying the devil was messing with his flesh, so he kept going. But Smith Wigglesworth had a different take. He said, I don't pray for more than 10 minutes, but I don't go 10 minutes without praying. So if you think of how much time he prays, he actually prays a whole heck of a lot of time praying. But what was he doing? Ongoing communication. Remember the story I told you, the revelation of this came to me, and I was turkey hunting with my cousin. She was 17, a senior in high school. And it came to me, holy cow, she's with me. It's silly to not talk to her. It's silly to not communicate with her. It's awkward to not talk to her. She's with me. It's the same with God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm always with you. It's awkward to not say anything to Him. It's awkward to not include Him on everything. To tell Him your deepest, He already knows your deepest feelings. Tell Him. He already knows your thoughts. Tell Him. He already knows the fears that you have. Talk to Him about these things. He knows your weaknesses. Talk to Him about them. You can't hide them from Him anyways, but include Him, communicate. Jesus said that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Now I want to look at the parable, verse 2, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto Him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And He would not for a while. But afterward He said within Himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And then it says in verse 7, And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night? You know what day and night is? Constant fellowship with God. The ones that get delivered, the ones that are thriving in this life, He says, which shall cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them. The ones that are victorious, the ones that get over, are the ones who know God. How do they know God? They spend time with Him all day long. He's not just this Sunday morning from 10 to 11:30. He's not just this Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8 o'clock or whenever we stop. He's not that God to them. He's the God when they wake up in the morning. He's the God when they're brushing teeth. He's God to them when they're eating their breakfast, in their lunch, when they're going to work, when they're in their car. God, they don't separate their life. The Sunday morning and Wednesday night is not when God's included. No, God should be everything and all the time. And when people do that, listen, if you spent every waking moment with me, there might be times where we have intimate communication where we're one-on-one and you're telling me things. But if you spent every time with me where there's not just intimate communication, where we're in a car, we're in a store, the more time you spend with me, the more you're going to know about me. The more you're going to know my feelings on everything. The more you're going to know my will. The more you're going to know everything about me. Why? You spent time with me all the time. Yes, you can make appointments with me and we can sit there for 2 hours on a Sunday and we can talk about things. But you would not know me as well as if you spent all the time with me plus those set-aside times. Do you see that? The more you talk to God, see, Jesus said, or the Bible says this, draw near unto me and I'll draw near unto you. Amen. The people that draw near to God and speak to God are the ones that are getting God to speak back to them. When you're constantly in communication with Him, all of a sudden you can be driving down the road and boom, He drops an answer into your heart. All of a sudden you can be doing something and you've been in constant communication with God and you're ironing your clothes and all of a sudden you got a divine idea for your business, how to make it work better. All of a sudden this happens, and I know exactly what I can say to that person that will help them. Why? You're always in communication. You've opened the door to the Lord to give Him an invitation to speak into your life. I tell you, if you say, well, Lord, I'm only going to reserve time for You to speak in my life, you know, on Sunday mornings for a little bit, and I'll give You a little bit of time before I go to bed. Yeah. Go to Hebrews 11 real quick, and we'll get ready to close. Hebrews 11, verse 6. You see, you know God by coming to church and sitting under ministry gifts. You know God through His Word. Those are things you have to on purpose do. The Bible says you'll be successful the more time you spend in His Word. Well, you have to do that. The Bible says you'll be successful and equipped and perfected when you put yourself under a ministry gift. You have to on purpose show up here for that. And the Bible says that you won't faint and you'll be strong in this life when you pray. You have to on purpose do that. Would it be nice if it just automatically happened? But it doesn't. You have to on purpose do it. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says this, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that casually seek Him. He's a rewarder of them that, you know, Sunday morning, 40 minutes out of my whole week. He's a rewarder. What's the rewards? Revealing things to you, giving you answers, giving you the ideas, helping you in life. A rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know what diligently is? Over and over again. Not just, well, you know what? Yesterday I had a good day talking to God, man. I included Him. I prayed, and today, you know, we're just going to kind of do our own thing. That's not diligence. You know, you'll have what you say. The Bible says that. Some people will say for a week straight, it doesn't show up, and then they stop saying. That's not diligence. No. Diligence is over and over and being faithful. Well, you know, I turned the TV off this week, and I spent an hour a night in the Word with God, and I did that for a week straight and didn't sense any change, so I'm going to go back to Monday to just fill my life up with TV and my own stuff. That's not diligence. No. Diligence is I'm sticking with it. Amen? I'm seeking You, Father, because I'm sticking with it. Glory to God. And we'll close and we'll end in Galatians. I'm not even going to go to my last point because the Holy Spirit's saying to go to Galatians 2 and verse 20. Well, we know that seeking God on our own will cause us to be victorious, but it also causes us to help other people, you know, being filled with God and being strong and getting revelation of things. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Oh, my goodness. If people had this revelation, it would help them in how they put God in their life, when the Bible says, now listen, I'm preaching to the choir, you're all here tonight. But when the Bible says to not forsake the assembling of gathering ourselves together, the Bible says go to church, put yourself under a pastor. If people had this revelation, it wouldn't be a problem. The Bible says to serve. The Bible says the greatest among you is a servant. We'll get to that message sometime soon. Because I want to be great, and don't you want to be great? The Bible says the great ones are the servants. The ones that serve are great. If people had this revelation of this verse, serving wouldn't be an issue. Love walk wouldn't be an issue if you had a revelation of this verse. Spending time in His Word to build yourself up to be a blessing to others wouldn't be a problem if you got a revelation of this verse. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. You know what crucifixion means? I'm dead. You don't live after a crucifixion. Crucifying you was for the purpose of killing you. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What's he saying? He's saying, I die to myself, yet I'm still going on in the natural life. He says, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What's he saying? It ain't about me anymore. And everybody in the body of Christ, it's all about them. You don't understand how selfish Christians are. It is, Jesus gave you everything, and yet you can't even give them a little bit back. People want God to move heaven and earth for them, but they don't want to do anything for Him. They don't. And the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Do you know what I know? I've known this about a dead person. A dead person has no wishes, a dead person has no desires, and a dead person has no wants. Paul's saying, my desires, my wishes, and my wants are in line with Jesus Christ. And see, it would help you with things that you're dealing with in the flesh. It would help you with your love walk. It would help you with how you behave and how you act and how you go about life. Why? When you realize you are not your own, that you're dead. And the life now, I wrote that in my Bible. I remember Pastor Michael saying this, and it was on May 29th of 2010. A dead man has no wishes, I put in quotes. Because I said, man, I can be so selfish at times. Can't we all be selfish? And one of the reasons we don't spend time praying, which we've seen will benefit us, is because we're too busy with us. Instead of spending, he's longing. I love it when Caleb, he's so busy, Caleb, all the time. When he will just crawl up in my lap and lay with me and watch a Disney show, or he actually likes some of the sports talk shows on ESPN, which is awesome, that he likes that stuff. There's one called PTI, pardon the interruption, it's on ESPN. PTI, he loves it. And he crawls up with me and sits with me. And so I love those moments when he sets aside time from his playroom, from all his toys that are scattered throughout the house, from doing what he wants, just to come up in Daddy's lap and talk with Daddy. Or sometimes he'll sit face to face with me, and I'll say, and we'll just have this game where we play, we'll say, let's talk about, and we each pick a topic, and then we talk about it. And he always wants to talk about the blue sweeper. Let's talk about blue sweeper. Blue sweeper. Every time it's the blue sweeper. Okay, blue sweeper's nice. Blue sweeper's pretty. Blue sweeper makes lots of noise. And so, but those moments when he takes time, can you imagine how happy your Heavenly Father is? When you say, Lord, I'm not even coming to ask for anything. I'm just coming to love on you. I mean, I know what it's like to have my son tell me he loves me. There's nothing better. And so I was thinking about that this morning. I was laying on my floor in my office just saying, Lord, I love you. I just was saying that over and over. I just love you. You know what that means to him? To take time to do that. But anyways, I hope that blessed you tonight. Because see, what happens is when you pray, and I'm closing my Bible, or I'll just keep going. When you pray, praying is not a natural exercise, it's a spiritual exercise. When you pray, you're putting more emphasis on the spiritual realm than the natural realm. Your answers are all going to come from the spiritual realm. Your help is going to come from the spiritual realm. And when you pray, you're saying that realm's important to me. You're taking yourself out of the natural realm and you're putting yourself in position to receive from God. And you'll never know him if you don't submit to the gifts that God's put in your life. You'll never know him if you don't spend time in your word, and you'll never know him if you don't have a prayer life with him. And if you don't know him, you won't have peace and great good won't come to you. Amen? So cultivate a relationship. Wake up on purpose tomorrow and say, I'm including you in everything today, Father. You're attached at my hip. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Oh, we just praise you. Lord, I thank you. You hear me right now, and I thank you. You always hear me. Father, I thank you that your ear is always inclined unto me. Father, you're just waiting for us to draw near unto you. You're just waiting for to be able to bless us with mercy and grace and help in the time of need, Father. You love us so much, Father. Prayer doesn't change you. Prayer changes us. Father, I don't pray right now because it makes me look special or it makes me look like a pastor. No, I pray because I'm enjoying talking to you. I'm enjoying fellowshipping with you. Father, I thank you you've made it simple. Lord, you're not a religious God. You can't. In fact, you came to destroy religion, to tear down religion, and to bring life. Religion kills. Religion sucks the life out of things. But you bring peace. You bring joy. You bring life into the situation. Father, you're just longing to spend time with us. Hallelujah. I know this. This just came into my spirit. When I have to spend time with people because I feel like I have to, there's no life there. There's no joy there. There's family members or there's friends or there's people that I'll spend time with them just because I feel like if I don't, then, and you know what? It's not enjoyable when I'm there. But there are people that I just love to be around, and there's no pressure, and they're just happy that I'm there. That's the true fellowship, the true joy. And that just came into my spirit about our Father. Father, thank you for that. Lord, when I feel like I have to spend time with you, it kills it. But Lord, when I know that you're just excited that I'm there at all, oh, Father, I love you so much. I just praise you tonight. I glorify you. Father, thank you for these precious people. Lord, they're diligently seeking you tonight. Father, this is maybe one of the last real hot days we'll have. all year long, and yet they're here in church, Father, to hear your word. Father, reward them for being here. Father, reward them when they seek you. Reward them when they crucify their flesh. Reward them when they put you first, Father, when they spend time in your word. Lord, I know to ask you to reward them is silly because your Bible already says that you will, but Father, I thank you that they're rewarded for being here. I thank you that they're rewarded for putting you first. Father, we love you tonight. We endeavor to cultivate a relationship with you. You paid a high price for us to get to know you. You paid a high price for us to get to talk to you and to fellowship with you. And so, Father, may our eyes be open to cultivating a relationship with you that's different than it's ever been before, that it goes from I have to pray to I get to pray, to, oh gosh, I wish this would end, to, oh, glory to God, I can't wait to get there. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. We give you all the glory. If you're listening to this, you've never accepted Jesus, and you know you need him, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead, and I ask you to come into my life. And then get a hold of us and let us know that you prayed that prayer, that you sincerely cried out to God from your heart. And we'll get you hooked up into the next step with him, which is a Bible teaching church. Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you glory. If you'd all just look up here real quick, let's right now take the opportunity. You can, just to get you to talk, if you'd even whisper, just begin to talk to your Father. Just begin to cultivate that relationship. What does that look like, Pastor Mike? Just begin with worship. You know, Jesus, when he gave us the Lord's Prayer, it wasn't so we'd say that every time, because the Bible says he doesn't want vain repetitions, but he gave us the outline of how to pray. And the first thing he was, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What did he start with? Worship. So let's start right now with worship. Just begin to praise him. Begin to love on him. Actually open your mouth and talk to him. Let's just begin. I'll take the lead. Father, I love you tonight. Just begin to talk to him. I love you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. Father, you're so merciful. Come on, I don't hear very many people talking to God here. Begin to talk to him. Begin to talk to him. Begin to love on him. Begin to worship him. We're all on the same page here. This is where we practice. This is where it's easy to do it. This is where there's an anointing to do this. I mean, you have a man who's standing up in front of everybody doing it himself. I mean, if anyone should be embarrassed, it should be me, but no. Just begin to talk to him. If you say, I just don't know what to say, thank him for Jesus. Thank him you're alive. Thank him for the air that you have to breathe. Thank him for the home you have. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his patience with you. Thank him for his mercy that he's displayed. Thank you that his anger has been withheld. Thank you for his long suffering. Thank you for his provision. Thank you for his healing power. Thank you that he's for you. Oh, Lord, I thank you for all those things. And Lord, I know how it's like to have my son tell me he loves me. Lord, I love you tonight. I love you tonight. Come on, tell him you love him. Just tell him you love him. Lord, I love you so much. I love you so much. Lord, there's nobody I'd rather be with than you. Father, there's nobody. Oh, I can imagine when Caleb tells me, Daddy, there's no one else I'd rather be with besides you and Mommy. Oh, you and Mommy are my favorites, Daddy. Oh, Father, you're my favorite. You say, this is corny. No, this is a relationship. This is how you cultivate a relationship. This is how you make sure that his presence is near you. This is how you make sure to know that God is there. Hallelujah. Just love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. Lord, I need you. I need you. When have you ever just told the Lord you need him? When have you ever said, I'm worthless without you? When have you ever been humble enough to say, Lord, I'm a miserable wreck without you, Lord? I'd be nowhere. I'd be hellbound. My life would be over without you. You are the reason I live. You are the reason I breathe. You say, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm crying out to God. I'm crying out to God. I'm diligently seeking him. I'm giving him my heart and my soul. Praise you, Father. Lord, I'm nothing. This church is nothing without you. These people are nothing without you. Father, my life is nothing without you. I worship you. I glorify you. I love you tonight, Father. I love you. I love you tonight, Father. I praise you and magnify you. Thank you for your son. 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 hasta temeste ne te candestoco, un pata in te singeto un tushante de, et te fasanco potodo shocopro sacatisti, et te nambapa papampe teste me, este te deste me. And some of you, you've been in communication, you've been saying stuff, there's been things coming out of your mouth, and you've been doing a lot of asking, and you've been doing a lot of wondering. But the Bible says that we ought to praise our Heavenly Father. That when we praise Him, the Word of God says that He inhabits the praises of His people. Some of you have been asking, some of you have been wondering, some of you have been confessing when you ought to just be praising God that it's done. When you ought to be just praising God that the answer's on its way. When you ought to just be praising God for the victory. So check up on yourself, as the Spirit of God says through me right now. Check up on yourself. Check up on what your praises look like lately. Check up to see if you even have a praise life. And if not, incorporate praise. Begin to worship Him. Begin to have times set aside where you ask nothing. Begin to have times where there's no agenda other than, I'm just going to praise You, Father. And you'll watch your situation start to turn. You'll watch life being added. Thus saith the Lord God. The Holy Spirit said that tonight. Thus saith the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Yes, Father, that's for them. That's for the church. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. What just happened? Tongues and interpretation of tongues is what just happened, mixed in with the word of knowledge. Hallelujah. Father, we crave those things. We crave those things, Father. Hallelujah. We ought to just praise You and bring down Your presence in our situation. Hallelujah. We praise You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Everybody look up here. You understand that when you say, Father, I thank You and I praise You that needs met. You know what's happening? You're praising Him and you're saying at the same time. You're praising and saying. We just need to have times where we just do nothing but just praise Him and magnify. He gets turned on by that and He manifests Himself in our lives. Hallelujah. So anyways, you heard how I do it. I want to know God more, though. Amen? So let's just keep pressing forward into Him and know that He paid a big price and just include Him into your life. You're dismissed. We'll see y'all either Saturday night if you're going to Olean or Sunday morning. You're dismissed.